Sunken vessels don't have to be filled with gold doubloons to qualify as treasure. Each discovery of a submerged wreck in Hawaiian waters has a human drama in its background and a mystery story for historians to unravel. What was the accident or misadventure that sent a ship or a plane to the bottom, and what history does it reveal? Dr. Hans von Tilburg is a longtime chronicler of the wrecks found in Hawaiian waters, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Hans.
Good morning. Thank you, Chris.
It's good to have you.
It's nice to be here.
Are the Hawaiian Islands a particularly good area to study sunken wrecks?
Well, they're challenging because they're high-energy environments, mm-hmm. but yes, this is obviously a very maritime location.
Because there are a lot of wrecks, right?
That's right, and unfortunately a lot of vessels and also aircraft have splashed into these waters and remain as historic properties.
With the sailing vessels, is it just because of the currents and the reefs and just the general difficulty of navigating through these islands?
Absolutely. You probably know that there aren't many real safe anchorages or places you can shelter from the weather. Mm-hmm. So you have to be pretty akamai to be able to survive in those kinds of trades. And there have been hundreds of years of contact.
We had obviously a lot of traffic because of the whaling industry in the 19th century. What was the first traffic after the Polynesians got here? What was the first ocean-going traffic out here?
Well, those would be very early Western vessels of discovery and trade, so people crossing the Pacific to China for commerce. And the whalers were close on their heels. The mm-hmm. whalers were out here very early from the 1820 on.
Really?
Sure.
And because in those days, it was big business, right?
That's right. That's right. Whale oil was, in a sense, our first energy industry.
Mm-hmm. What are the oldest vessels that have been found in these waters?
The oldest shipwreck is a British whaler known as the Pearl, sailing in consort with the Hermes, and they were wrecked in 1822.
Wow.
Up at Pearl and Hermes Atoll, and they were discovered by some NOAA divers years ago, and they've investigated the wreck site, and it's been very interesting.
So that these kind of wrecks continue to yield new information even years after they're found, yeah?
Yeah. I think most people think that wrecks are you know, fun to discover for sport divers, and they are that, but they also do have historical and archaeological information.
Sure.
And that can be gleaned from the tools and the artifacts on those sites.
What are some of the clues that you might find?
Well, you can find the equipment that operated the ship, the winches, the windlasses, the anchors, and that has a whole history unto itself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's personal cargo or navigation equipment associated with wreck sites. But also just identifying the vessel or aircraft adds a little bit of history that otherwise, you know, isn't written down in any book.
Well, say a vessel that went down, obviously its log will be lost, but there'll be records from, say, a shipping company or somewhere else, right, of whatever happened to this particular vessel.
Sometimes. And if you can find those, you know, you have more of the picture of what happened. But often those documents are scattered and hard to locate.
I would imagine, yeah. But that's the whole sort of land-based detective story aspect of all this, right?
That's right.
Tracking down records. And
Yeah. I enjoy that one myself. The hunt isn't just, you know, underwater for these historic properties and sites, mm-hmm. but also sometimes in the archives.
Well, I mean, anytime a ship goes down, it has an enormous ripple effect on the crew, the whoever sent the ship out in the first place, be it a Navy or a private, like a whaling company. It sort of has an impact all over the place. It's a question of finding out where that impact was felt. Yeah.
You know, for local vessels, a lot of small steamers, when they sank with plantation cargo and sugar, it could have a pretty big economic impact to the plantations here.
Sure. Well, and that's the whole, you know, the economy of the Sandwich Islands, Kingdom of Hawaii, 19th century was largely, I mean, whaling was very important up to about, what, mid-century, and then all of a sudden it declined rapidly in importance, didn't it?
It began to decline in the 1850s, mm-hmm. you know, when the populations of the species had been fairly decimated, unfortunately, and also with the discovery of petroleum and kerosene. after that, but continued on into the 1890s, actually, up in the Arctic.
But it was kind of a fading. I mean, and you see signs of that as well.
Yeah, it was on the downturn.
Do you have any sort of preferred vessels that you've heard about that you'd like to find? You know, is there sort of a holy grail of sunken ships out there for you?
Well, you know, I'm fascinated by Hawaii's plantation history, but in terms of the resources that are out there, I have to tell you that the aviation history Hawaii has underwater is striking, and you have to understand the position of Hawaii back in the 1930s and 40s in the war years and what that meant to have all those squadrons practicing here and accidents happened.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Planes were lost. So if you just count the number of aircraft between 1924 and 1952, there are over 1,485 naval aircraft in the waters around the Hawaiian archipelago.
My gosh. How many have been found? Those are the ones that have been recorded and
yeah,
and
recorded
located
as lost. There's a brief report filed, but we probably know about where 36 or so of those are.
So this is a function of the fact that a lot of training was done here. So
lots of intensive training, absolutely, and commitment to that period of time in the Pacific.
So not just pilots, but even the aircraft were perhaps untested when they were being flown in these waters, yeah?
Absolutely right.
Well, there's a lot, in aviation history. There's a history that sort of resonates out from that, isn't there?
Sure. It's a fascinating history, and those were, you know, very brave people that took that on.
How do you go about your work, mainly through diving, photographing, matching up with records when you're on land? Is that kind of the essence of your work?
Well, my work, when it includes, you know, survey for sites, begins in the archives with defining a survey area.
Uh-huh.
And then proceeds to a phase called remote sensing with a magnetometer or side-scan sonar to find the location. It's a big ocean out there.
So you really have to sort of start to get a general idea before you even start diving and looking, right?
Sure. You want to narrow down the survey area as much as you can.
Well, Hans, thanks very much for coming on the show. It's really fascinating work that you do, and I appreciate you talking with us.
Well, thank you, Chris. It's been my pleasure, and I'd be happy to come back anytime.
Great. Good. Especially when you find anything new. Give us a holler, right?
All right.
Anything old or anything new.
Okay.
Dr. Hans von Tilburg is the Maritime Heritage Coordinator and the Unit Diving Supervisor for the NOAA Office of National Marine Sanctuaries. His research will be discussed on an upcoming episode of the PBS Digital Studio series, Under H2O, and you can link to it through our hpr2.org website.
Don't talk too much. Shh. Don't know too much. Jack, don't be too hip, cause a slip of the lip might sink a ship. Shh. Don't see too much. Boy, don't jive too much. Jack, don't be so hip, cause a slip of the lip might sink a ship. The walls have ears. The night has eyes. So let's...